Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Listening to Jazz. My name is Beloved Jazz, and today I got something to say. So I literally am so grateful that I don't have to try to come up with a topic or to, you know, what am I going to say today? I just, God puts him in my heart, and it's always pre-planned. I mean, sometimes it's not, but most of the time it is pre-planned what I'm going to say, whether it come from God or just my own experience that is a consistent message that I feel like I need to speak on. So this message today, and I'm sorry if I'm a little congested. I'm a real person, so I got real allergies, real issues. So thank you so much for listening. I pray that you get past my nasalness, my congestedness, and listen to the true message and the narrative that I have to say, because I think it is very powerful. So I was like, what do I have to say? I literally was like, I want to do another episode. Y'all are listening. I really, when I did this or started this podcast years ago, I was just at a place where I had a lot to say and no one to say it to. And I felt like my voice was small. I didn't realize that my voice had strength, not in its, you know, deepness or its tone, but what I had to say really mattered. And I realized that now, like 2 years later, because God really had to step me away from some stuff and really take a look at who I was then and who I am now. And just, it's a huge difference. I've always been who I am. It's just I get validation on what I need in that moment. And basically today, I want to talk about terms of endearment. If you don't know what terms of endearment are, I'm so sorry that no one, you know, has shared this with you. But if you do know what this term is, it's basically where you know cute pet names and nicknames and just good names overall that people give you give yourself, those type of names that give you validation, that lift you up, instead of terms that bring you down. And before I get into it, I do want to give you a little backstory. So basically, I recently had a birthday, and I was like, I want to do my next episode on or around my birthday. I won't share exactly what day it was, but it was recently, like a couple of days ago. I'll just say this because I'm not ashamed. I'm just private, but I turned 28, and I just feel so blessed. I literally feel like not a new woman, but just a becoming, evolved woman, like a woman who is so sure of herself. Not that I wasn't before, but I just, now I'm actually in it and I'm listening and, you know, everything is different. But basically, I was having a conversation, I think with a coworker or something. I was like, My mom, she calls her dad father. She always says, my father. Like, the way she said it is very, like, very superior, almost. And it just reminds me of, like, church, whenever you hear, like, you know, God being referenced as my father. Like, it just seemed very distant. And my other coworker, she was like, that, I get what you mean. It doesn't seem very personal. It just seems like his role, his, you know, my father, like, it's not the same as dad or daddy, because those are personal nicknames, pet names, terms of endearment. And I didn't really think much about it until, like, a couple of days before my birthday. I was like, ooh, that's a good topic, because now that I'm older, I get, like, when I realize that in my own life, I don't use a lot of terms of endearment. I do with people that I'm actually personal with and close with. You know, like, if I consider you, like, on a closer level, I'll say, hey, girl, like, hey, whatever. But if I'm just, like, it's professional, it's no depth to it, I won't use certain terms. And then the coworker, she was like, that's terms of endearment are about trust. It's about you trusting that other person, you trusting yourself to trust that person. So that's why you go deeper with how you refer to them. I was just like, oh, wow. Like, that's why, like, growing up, I lived in a household with a woman, and she never liked the fact that I didn't call her mom. It just didn't feel right. It didn't feel natural. I felt like it was very forced. It was, you know, and she, you know, that was what she wanted. She was like, call me mom. She wasn't my biological. It was just about, like, she wanted that title, and I just, like, I would to make her happy, but it just felt, even me speaking on it now, it just gives me a little, like, eeriness in my stomach, because I was just like, I remember, like, I never would say, hey, mom, can you take me to such and such? Like, it wasn't personal. I would only refer to her in that manner if there was someone outside that didn't know me, or the household, or, you know, who is that woman? It would be that, like that. And looking at my relationships, it's only been a few men that I actually refer to with terms of endearment. Like, hey, baby, whatever. Like, and I've just learned, like, I thought I was just, like, closed off, or I just wasn't that type of girl to use, like, pet names and nicknames. But it just went back to childhood for me, recognizing, like, having terms of endearment and, you know, having personal pet names and stuff, you actually have to get to know a person and feel comfortable with them. So, yeah, I recognize in the past, I just wasn't comfortable. Something in my being said, don't trust this person. Don't allow yourself to get deeper. And at the time, I was like, something's wrong with me. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, I was right. My body was right. Everything that I was feeling inside, it was right. I just didn't have the support to back that up. So now that I'm older, I do recognize that terms of endearment are about trust. So I wrote down a few things. Because my journey of terms of endearment have changed so much. And I want to share with you on, if you are struggling with not just giving out cute little nicknames and stuff, but just being aware of what you call yourself and how you want to be referred. I wrote down a point, and this is going to be the guiding point of how I want to introduce changing the narrative of terms of endearment. So I wrote down what what you allow others to call you is what you would call yourself. I used to think that, oh, if someone referred to me this way, it's just, you know, how they see me or whatever. But if I'm allowing them to call me a name, it's because I see something in me that resonates with that. I mean, and of course, there are moments where, you know, it's not supposed to be, you know, resonated with. But there are times when I'll use myself for an example, like, if a stranger called me the B word, it wouldn't internalize and resonate with me deeper than if someone would in my personal life called me a B. And in the past, that was all one and the same. I grew up being called names that weren't very pleasant. And I'm going back in my memory bank. I don't do this often, but it might be a little hurtful, and I'm not gonna cry, but it just makes me sad to know that that was how I was treated. So I was called names like bitch, hoe, hussy, like stuff like that by someone that was very close to me, that I trust, that I thought I trusted, and that was supposed to be, you know, this person that I respected. And I gave them that respect without, you know, without even acknowledging the power that they had. So later in my adult relationships, I recognized that, wow, like, I allow guys to refer to me as bitch or hoe when they are upset with me. I mean, I wouldn't walk away. I wouldn't be like, you shouldn't call me that. So, you know, or whatever. Of course, I would stand up for myself, but it would be like it wasn't a non-negotiable or a make or break. It was like, oh, you call me a B, we're going to fight it out, argue it out, but I still would end up staying. Not for long, but it was just a point that, oh, you can call me that and still, you know, have a place in my life for me to work things out and figure stuff out. But I had the time at one point to really reflect on my life and my relationships. And I was like, why is that? Like, I'm a why person. There's always a reason for something. We may not know it then or now or whatever, but there was something in my consciousness that allowed those names to be acceptable. And I don't want you to think that I'm in any way condoning that. And I didn't condone it then, but I didn't have the power to say, oh, this is a no-no. Like, it would be just a no, like, you're not going to call me that again, but I wouldn't walk away as quickly or whatever. And now I just realized that it was because I had to deal with that when I was younger. So now that I'm older, it took a lot of work, a lot of inner work, healing, to really get to the nitty gritty. Like, why do most of my relationships end up with name calling and whatever, and that be okay? And I'll say after most of that work of really getting to the why and the nitty gritty of why I don't allow actual good terms of endearment to stick with me versus the ones that are bad, I really was like, oh no, like, that is not okay. And it literally goes back to that sentence of what you allow others to call you is what you would call myself and or yourself. And I would just realize I don't refer to myself as a bitch, even when I listen to certain songs and they like, I'm a boss ass bitch. I don't even, like, I'll say it, but, or whatever, to sing along, but I don't internalize, like, I'm a B, because I recognize that whenever I say it in one way, even though it might have a different meaning, I'm still saying it, associating it with myself. And that's not okay. Like, so basically, what I call myself is what I expect other people to call me. And it took a lot of positive affirmations, a lot of getting to know me, to really be like, am I a bitch? It was a question, more so a sentence. Am I dumb? Am I? And that goes with just challenging those thoughts. And that for me was the groundwork to be able to say, like, I don't allow anyone to disrespect me with the name, because what you say about me is what I would say to myself, and that's not okay. It's not okay to be called that. So I had to literally switch my thinking when it came to terms of endearment. I started telling myself actual good names, like good stuff about myself, and that was when I really saw a shift. Like, like, if someone did call me names that I, even though, like, it was personal or whatever, and they know me, if they said something that I didn't agree with, then it wasn't okay, no matter if it did happen in my childhood or if it did happen in my previous relationships. But now, the woman I am today, it's a no-go. Like, you won't even, if I see that behavior, that's not okay with me. And it did take a lot of work, and I laugh because it took a lot of boundary setting to really be like, no, like, I can't control what you say, but I can control how I react. And that's why I'm really big on, like, just thinking and really resonating with who you are, because you are the one that gets to answer to whatever people call you. And then, so I wrote down affirmations because affirmations is, I know it seems, I used to think it was a little cheesy, like, I am beautiful, I am smart. Like, it just was like, of course you're supposed to tell yourself good stuff. But if you grew up not hearing that, then you do get comfortable with being called other names. And then when you are telling yourself good stuff, it is like uncomfortable. But I still stuck with it. I still tried to push through it and get to know me and say, you know, good stuff, even if it didn't feel natural. And it just changed my world. So, affirmations aren't just you reading a list of what you are, but actually getting to know yourself and saying, wow, I am that, and giving yourself the confirmation. Like, if you just say you're smart, that doesn't mean anything. But if you're like, I'm smart because I make good decisions, I've done this, I've done that, like, you're giving your fact checking what you say. That was where age and growth and all of that came in, where I was able to have the time and space to be able to give myself proof. Of course, if you're young and you haven't, you know, had time to accomplish certain things, you don't have the correlation or whatever to be able to say, wow, I'm strong or whatever, because I overcame this, and, you know, I went on to do this and that. That's why I do love the beauty of time. And yes, I wrote down another point. It's what you call yourself. Does it align with what others say about you? And I wrote in parentheses, like, people that actually know me. And this is so big because even just yesterday, I got, and all of this is selective memory. I'm not just thinking about this. I'm literally, like, just pulling examples out of my memory. So, a lady was like, oh, you know, when you say certain stuff, it can be very ugly. Like, she just kept saying ugly. And I laughed it off, and I didn't internalize it. I didn't take it in, because I was like, I'm not that. Like, you don't even know me. Like, it was okay for her to have her opinion, but it didn't stick because she didn't know me. And that was where I, you know, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to prove you wrong. I just was like, you don't know me. I didn't even say that. I was just thinking, you don't know me. And that gave me so much freedom. Not even just in that situation. That's just how I am now. When a person truly gets to know you, and I think it goes back to getting to know yourself. I have gotten to know me very well, to where if someone does say something to me about me, I ask myself, does that align with who I am, or does it not? And that can be good or bad. You know, if someone says I'm smart and I've already told myself that, then that does align. But if someone says I'm dumb and I say I'm smart, I ask that question, does that align? Do those two things align? And if it doesn't, I don't take it in, because I have gotten the time and the work and the energy to spend, you know, getting to know me. So if you, and I know me better than you know me, so yeah. And it took a lot to get here. I used to think that it was okay for people to know me, but you know how you had those songs, I know you better than you know yourself, stuff like that. That was that's not okay. If someone knows you better than you know you, then you need to spend more time with you. That just is what it is, because you wake up with you, you sleep with you, you breathe with, like, you are with you 99.9% of the day. So if you aren't aware of how you see yourself or what are your thoughts, then that's, you got to go back to the drawing board, which is you. And then I realized too, there's a difference between someone knowing me and being a spectator. I literally read this in a book yesterday. It was like, are you allowed? It was talking about, like, do I allow spectators to have an opinion on, you know, my life, my dreams, and stuff like that? And most of my past was where I did allow spectators to have an opinion, because I always was, like, respectful of everyone and what you say matters. But then I was like, no, now it's about people that actually know me and have spent time getting to know me, versus people that are on the sidelines that are quiet and just watchful of you but don't really know you. And that spoke volumes, because I've learned that most people that call you names, terms of endearment, whatever you say, that or things that you don't know, think to be true about yourself, are people that don't even know you. And that's true. Yes, because most of the folks that have, you know, called me out of names that I don't, you know, associate myself with, they didn't know me, or they didn't take the time to really get to know the sweet me or whatever. And those aren't my elevator people. I'm telling you, I'm just so grateful, because I'm just learning life in different viewpoints. I'll say that, because, and I'm just so grateful that you have allowed me to give you my perspective of life and my views and all of that, because I hope that it helps you look at your own life differently. If you are a person that, you know, was acceptable of, you know, being called bitch or hoe or whatever, you have to, if you don't like that, you have to figure out why you allowed that. So, yes. That is all of my points that I have. I'm going to try to save some of my voice to finish up the rest of my day, but I really hope that whatever I say just resonates with you. I've accepted this role in life that I am a disruptor, and I'm okay with that. Like, I hope whatever I've said disrupts something in your psyche, your mental, your mind, your life. So, because that's where the change comes. And I know that I'm contagious. Because I just see it, and I don't take it for granted. I'm so grateful that you want to better yourself. If you're here reading or listening to this, you want to become a better you, a better woman, and that's why I do it. Before I go, I had to say this point, because I just remember it like it was yesterday. I was at one of my friend's weddings, and there was this cute little girl, little chocolate girl. She was so pretty. And I say that because Black women, especially little girls, we sometimes don't see our beauty. But she literally came up to me, and we had our makeup done. I was in the bridal shower, so, you know, we were done up. But she said, "You're just so pretty. I want to look like you." And I I was like, no, you're pretty. I'll, you know, you don't need to look like me. It's just makeup. You're so pretty, how you are. And she said, no, I'm ugly. And that just broke my heart because I was like, someone shared that with her. She didn't wake up feeling in her heart that she was that way. Someone exposed her to that, whether it be bullies at school or home or wherever. But then, and you know me, I was like, you are so pretty, like trying to really like get to this girl, like for, I want to say whatever, whoever told you that, you are so beautiful. And she was like, can I rub my face to get your makeup off? And she was trying to rub her face to my face. And, like, she was, it was so cute. She was trying to rub her my makeup off for her. But I was really trying to get her to understand that, you know, this is on purpose. I purposely put on makeup, whatever, to be pretty. But even when I take the makeup off, I still feel pretty. And there are days where I don't, but I still want to always remember that who I am is pretty. Because we don't always look our best selves and we don't always feel good, but we have to purposely do this. So, but that's, even though it was, you know, it was a very negative comment, you know, her saying that about herself, I just resonated because I remember being that little girl and someone telling you that you're a bee, you're ugly, you're a hoe, you're, oh, all boys want to do with you is this. And that wasn't okay, but I thought it was okay. And then I really thought it was okay for that. Like, if someone that is older than me, wiser than me, respectful of me, whatever, telling me this, then it must be true. And that is not, that's not how it is. It shouldn't be like that. So that's why I want, if you were here, to rub off my energy to go into you, I would love that, because it's not easy, but you're doing the best you can so that you can be the best you, and I truly admire that. And thank you so much for listening to Jazz. And yes, be loved, be loved. Beloved Jazz.